Morning, everyone. Hey, could you all do me a favor?
Yes.
Could you?
No. Yeah.
Now, when I say favor, what do you think of? What was going through your mind just at that moment when I said favor? You're probably thinking something like, well, what does he want? Right? Or, oh, it's George, it's okay. Yeah, sure. I know it's not going to be outrageous. Or you might have thought, no, it's George. I'm not doing anything for him. Whatever the case may have been, when we think of that statement, will you do me a favor, it's kind of lost its meaning in our language. Because I can remember from being a little kid and someone saying to me, can you do me a favor? And I said, why should I do that? And they said, well, when you ask for a favor, there's no reason why you do it. You just do it. And I've always remembered that. And that's actually true. When someone needs a favor, you know the other word for favor, right? It's grace. It has little to do with the recipient and everything to do with the provider of that favor. So it really speaks more of the giver than it does of the receiver, doesn't it? Because when we think about God, who among us is worthy of his favor? Not a single one of us. But when we talk about God's favor, that speaks of his character and how good he is. Grace changes us, and God knows that. So he's happy to give grace, whether we deserve it or not. And so the next time someone says, can you do me a favor, pause from them and think, well, this isn't about how good or worthy they are of the favor. This is about how good my character is as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. Open with me to Titus chapter 2. We'll be spending a lot of time in Titus chapter 2 this morning, so make sure you mark that place and keep a bookmark in there or something. But I'm going to start with 11 and 12, verses 11 and 12. And it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men or all people. Notice what it says next. It teaches us. Have you ever thought about that? Grace teaches you. It's not something that you get all at once and you understand everything about it all at once. It teaches you as you go along with Christ. It teaches us some things. And this is what Paul says it teaches us. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It teaches us. And of course we understand it's the Holy Spirit that helps us supernaturally to restrain ourselves. But grace teaches us some things. We don't understand it all at once. It takes some time. You know, there's a story from the 1700s of two sheep wrestlers. They stole sheep. They were caught. Two brothers. And as, you know, their punishment, part of their punishment, someone took a branding iron and branded the letters ST into their foreheads. Sheep thief. And so everywhere these guys went in town, people were constantly reminded, these two are sheep thieves. One of the brothers decided to move somewhere else, but unfortunately his legacy followed him. That story ended tragically because eventually he couldn't handle it anymore and he killed himself. His past haunted him until the day he took his own life. Now the other brother, on the other hand, he decided, I'm going to change. So one brother took the low road, the other one took the high road. And the other brother said, I'm going to do everything as though I'm doing it for God, so that my legacy will be different from the brand I have on my forehead. And so he tried to do everything above and beyond what people expect of him, until he was very old, very elderly, and someone asked, what in the world is on that man's forehead? Why does it say ST? And the other one said, well, I don't really know, but it must stand for saint. Take the high road. because grace teaches us some things. In Titus chapter 3 now, verse 1, Paul says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good." Now, our rebellious nature fights that, doesn't it? But it fights the hardest when we forget what grace is. Well, we forget what grace means. That's one of the reasons why we come around this table every Sunday, to remember grace. He died for us not because we deserved it. He died for us because He loved us so much that He was willing to give up His life to fulfill the Father's will. Grace teaches us to slander no one. And that's kind of hard sometimes, isn't it? When you live in a culture where people slander all the time, maybe that's a work environment, maybe that's the place where you live, where slandering is normal, it's hard to go against the grain and say, you know what, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be better than that. Instead of tearing people down, I'm going to build people up. Grace teaches us to be peaceable and considerate. It also teaches us empathy, believe it or not, to put ourselves in other people's shoes. People might act nasty toward us, but grace teaches us to take a moment to pause and say, but why? Did they have a bad day? Did they have a bad upbringing? Did they have a bad life? Did something horrible happen to them and they've never been introduced to grace? Who knows? Grace shows us true humility. And only humility can say, that person deserves grace. I got grace. I didn't deserve grace, but I got it. So why can't I give it? True humility to all people. All people. Grace works, too. It changes the world. It's not what our first instinct tells us to do, because human nature says, you know, hurt people back. Take revenge. Withhold grace. Don't give it to people who don't deserve it. Well, none of us deserve it. In Titus 2, verse 14 now, it says, Christ gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people. Notice that grace purifies us as well. People that are His very own, get this, eager to do what is good. Because of grace, we should get up every morning and say, I want to do something for God today. Despite how people act, I want to do what God would want me to do. Something amazing today. Something good. Something unlike everything I see on the news. Something awesome. Something world-changing for somebody's world. It makes us eager to do good. Ephesians chapter 2 now. Don't forget about Titus. We'll be back. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Get it together here, George. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. See that? Grace is not about your own merit, your accomplishments, your goodness. Grace is a gift because the giver is good. No one can boast. But then it says this, for we are God's workmanship. Do you understand God's working on you? Wherever you are in your life, God is working on you. God cares, God knows, God understands. God has more empathy than any human being possibly could. He knows you and your struggles and your accomplishments. He knows everything about you. You are His workmanship. He created you fearfully and wonderfully, the scriptures say, in your mother's womb. He knows you. But He's also still creating you. Through Christ. He is also still prompting you towards grace. And Paul says we are created in Christ to good works. There's our purpose. There's our mission as Christians. We have been recreated in Christ to extend grace to a world that doesn't deserve it. Because he gave it to us first. And now he says, you're my children. You reflect my glory. Reflect my grace. Because you're my children. And God has all this prepared in advance for us to do. It says God's got it all figured out. We don't have to sit and wonder, well, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? When am I going to do it? God's got it figured out. It's more about surrender than it is knowing everything. And it powerfully works in us when we let it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, think about Paul for a moment. Who was Paul? He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, right? Self-righteous to the max. A lot of accomplishments according to the world standards. He studied under the best of the best. And he says, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. As if all that other stuff doesn't matter. And remember, Paul also helped to hunt down Christians that they might be tried and murdered. Paul was a murderer. And now he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. We can see that as we read the scriptures, can't we? He powerfully changed this world because he allowed the grace to flow through him. Now think about it. This was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and now he's going to Gentiles. How crazy is that? In fact, he's telling other Jews, don't make these people follow the law of Moses. That's not the way to salvation. That's crazy. But it happened because grace radically changed everything about Paul. So he says, I work harder than all of them. And then he says this, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. We need to remember this. It is grace that drives us on. It is grace that powers us and empowers us. When we forget about grace, we become legalistic and we burn out. When we believe grace and we believe that everything about us is Christ, that's awesome. And then you become like Paul. And then you don't care how many times they stone you. Or how many times they beat you. Because grace is powerful. And Paul picks himself up every time and says, I'm going to do it again. Because this grace is amazing stuff. Grace motivates us. Why does it motivate us so much? Because it focuses on our hope. Our hope is there's more than this life. Our hope is there is eternal life. Our hope is Christ will come back. Our hope is that Satan's reign will come to an end. Our blessed hope is that we will be changed, transformed completely within and without by the grace of God. So we are motivated by this hope. We look forward, not back. And this grace has appeared everywhere. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 15, says all this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow. And he means to other people, to the glory of God. This is all God. God does all of this. There was a missionary by the name of James Calvert. He lived from 1813 to 1892. He was a very zealous missionary to the cannibals in Fiji. And at one point in time, an English earl went and visited the Fiji Islands. And he was very critical when he talked to the chief of one of the tribes. He says, you're a great leader, but it's a pity that you've been taken in by these foreign missionaries. No one believes the Bible anymore. People are tired of that threadbare story of Christ dying on a cross for the sins of mankind. They know better now. I'm sorry you've been so foolish as to accept their story. The old chief responded with a gleam in his eyes, "You see that great rock over there? We used to smash the head of our victims on it." Both other tribes and foreigners. He said, "You should be very thankful for the grace of God, or you would be tonight's dinner." The grace of God changes us radically. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Titus 2:13, it says, "We wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Jesus is coming back because of grace. Jesus is coming back for the church because of grace. Now, you can look at the church in a universal sense, right? You can look at it across the world and you can say, is that church worthy of Christ coming back for it? Is that church that good? And all of you are thinking of instances right now when the church was not so good, right? Because I drew your attention to it. But what we need to draw our attention to is this: at the center of the church is Jesus Christ, living in the saints of God. He is in us, and He is for us and not against us. And He's working on us, and we have bad days. We do. We have bad seasons. We do. But the grace of God is greater than our weakness. And the grace of God, never forget this, keeps teaching us. Keeps teaching us. Although we may not want to extend grace when another Christian disappoints us, Christ's grace is bigger than that. Christ's grace still continues to change and transform. So we wait for our blessed hope, the return of our Savior. Because by grace, He's going to snatch us out of here someday. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says this: God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him. I talked about this a little bit last week. We are seated with Him in the heavenly realms. We're already in heaven in a spiritual sense because we're in Christ. Christ is already at the right hand of God. Now, put that in your pipe and smoke it. You're already in heaven. And half of us are wondering if we'll ever make it there. Grace is bigger than you. Grace is bigger than your weaknesses. And grace isn't done with you yet. When people won't give you the time of day, Jesus Christ has given you grace. And what does it say? Why is Jesus seated in the heavenly realms? In order that in the coming ages, He might show the incomparable riches of His grace. There's more to this grace thing, isn't there? Expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus, that's Paul's way of saying we will be rewarded by grace. Because we could look at like all the ancient religions and say when you die, they'll put your heart on a scale or something similar, and they'll weigh all the good deeds you did and all the bad deeds you did, and then if there are more good deeds than bad deeds, well then maybe you'll get to go to paradise. No. That's law. And we don't live under law. We live under grace. Grace says this: He who began a good work in you shall be faithful to complete it by grace. And despite your bad days, God remembers your good days. And because you did things, let's say, with the right motives, with the right heart for Jesus Christ, well, God rewards you for that. It says in the Scriptures very clear, there is there now for no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that, because we live in a world where it's checks and balances, good and bad, law and punishment. How can it be? How can it be? But folks, this is the truth. Grace is different. And it changes the world when we accept it. It's an amazing thing. And it's far above and beyond anything you see. God's grace extends beyond the grave. So, we are saved because of His mercy. Not because of how good we are. Not because of the righteous things that we have done. His mercy. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4 says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy," do you get that? God is rich in mercy. He's not like a judge sitting on a throne who can't wait to dish out punishment for you. God hates having to punish. He doesn't enjoy it. It grieves His heart. But He is a righteous God. He's a holy God. And He doesn't forget when the innocent suffer needlessly. That also gives us hope, by the way, doesn't it? Because when someone is a tyrant in your life, wherever that person is in your life, you can remember the words of Scripture, "Leave room for God's wrath. Let Him handle it." And that there's one lesson I've learned in this life. When you let God handle it, boy, does it turn out far better than when I handle it. Always. But I've got to have faith to believe that will happen. But when I do, wow, what a difference. There's life. There's transformation. When I take the bull by the horns, boy, it's a mess. God is rich in mercy. And verse 5 says, "He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions." We were sinners, good sinners, all right? Great at sinning. So Paul says, it's by grace you've been saved. Not because of how good you are, but because of grace, because of God's character. Grace also justifies us. It wipes the slate clean. That's also something that's hard for us to comprehend or accept or live by. We've been washed, truly washed clean. Not just a matter of washing the external parts of our bodies, but washing our very souls, our very consciences, everything about us, our very existence, everything about us is washed. We have a rebirth through the Holy Spirit, we're told. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3, verse 3. And here it says, "At one time, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But," here we go, here it comes, "when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy." God shows up, right? God radically changes the whole landscape of your life. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This is something supernatural that happens within. He poured that Spirit into us generously through Christ Jesus our Savior. So that having been justified by His grace, justified, you know what that means, right? It means your sins are all gone. Every hint of judgment is gone. I don't get that. I'll be frank with you. I don't get that. That's not the way people act. But it's the way God acts, and it's the way His children should act. So that we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, Paul says. And I want you to stress these things. so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. That's what changes the world, folks. Dedicate yourself to doing good. Wake up every morning and say, I want to do good. By grace, by God's grace, I will do good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. That works for Christians and non-Christians. It's powerful. And the world wants to see different. They really do. We have become heirs with Christ because of the grace of God. I don't get that either. Christ has inherited everything because of His righteousness, His goodness. The whole world has been handed back to Him. It's just a matter of time before the Father signs the deed back. But more than that, we're promised as His children, as Christ's brothers and sisters. It's hard for me to say that. Christ's brothers and sisters, as if we're bringing Jesus down, but we're not. He likes to call us His brothers and sisters because He wants to lift us up. We inherit what Christ gets. Scriptures are clear on that. And someday, when Christ doles out His inheritance, we'll be like, no, seriously, Jesus? You want me to have that? I mean, He might look at you and say, hey, you've got this whole new planet I just created. It's yours. Or you might have this whole sector of space. That's your playground now. And by the way, here's your house. Whoa. No, Jesus, I don't deserve this. Of course you don't. But I want to give it to you. By the grace of God, we have eternal life. And our values are often determined by our circumstances. I want you to think about that. How we respond by our circumstances. There's a story of a rich lady on the Titanic, and the news got out, we're abandoning ship. She ran to her room, and she didn't know what to grab. She didn't have any time to grab much. But there on her dresser, she saw two things. A bowl full of her jewelry, and she was a rich lady, and a bowl full of oranges. Guess which one she grabbed? The bowl full of oranges. She thought to herself, well, that jewelry is not going to do me much good if they take a while finding us. And that's really what it's all about, isn't it? What really matters. What's truly important to you. Christ would tell you there is nothing more important for you than to understand you need His grace. You need it. Because it's not going to do you much good on the final day if you don't have grace and you have to answer for everything good and bad you've done. But grace takes that all away. Grace takes wrath away from the Christian. And we're told in the Scriptures, we have not been reserved for wrath, but reward. So while the world scoffs and says, there's no difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, oh, on that day, Christ would tell you different. There is a difference. It is by grace we have been saved, and not of ourselves. Would you please stand with me as you ponder those thoughts? Father in heaven, we thank You for the grace by which we stand. Without that grace, we would truly be lost. Father, it's Your good nature that allows us to have that grace. And it is a wonderful gift. And if any have not received that gift, Lord, we pray that they would consider that today. Don't let them leave this place without talking to someone. because grace is powerful and grace is necessary. It is only by your grace that we can change and become everything that you intend for us. Lord, please bless us all by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.